from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
EW to his friends, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Bread with Beth. That's Beth in Australia.
Hello.
And Mum. Lee and me, Beth. Eric. We're all in here. There was a big hoo-ha this week as the UK's Daily Wet Handshake Mail ran a story about commercial radio. And the story was BBC Radio 1 and 2 cost commercial radio stations $50 million a year in lost advertising, they told MPs. Now, this created chaos on Facebook. And I do mean chaos. So I need to speak to a young person, which discounts Lee completely, kind of erases Rachel a bit, but then brings in Beth beautifully.
Okay, well, while you're doing it, I'm just going to change the oil on my bath chair.
So, Beth, do you listen to radio?
I listen to... No, I actually don't.
No, and I agree with you. I agree with you, Beth. And why don't you listen
why?
To...
Why?
Yeah. I download the music that I want to listen to, and if I want to listen to music that I haven't heard yet, I'll go on iTunes and go on the top 100 or whatever. And I don't have a car, so...
Thank
you. Listen to the radio.
So there's what you find in Australia is not too different to the UK in that the radio that's being offered just doesn't do anything for you.
Not really.
No.
And it's opportunity to listen as well.
Yeah, so you can listen when you want to listen, not when some radio station tells you.
Yes.
Yes. So it's really only for old people radio then.
Oh, if that's what you're into, then yeah, I don't know. I know heaps of young people listen to the radio, but I'm just not one of them. So.
Right. Okay, so what do the... You know your friends who listen to the radio, what sort of radio stations do they listen to?
The local ones that play music that ad-free 50s and...
Really?
So they don't, the top 40 stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they don't listen to, like, ABC or anything.
Not talkback radio, no.
No, no. I can't say as I blame them. It's very boring. Yes. But anyway...
it is.
It is boring. Anyway, we'll do our best. I'll get Lee to read some of these out as well. But anyway, the commercial radio stations, in their annual report, lost oodles of money, and they want to get more and because they need new suits and stuff like that. And we start off with a note from Ian who said, the reader's comment of the bottom sums it up nicely. This was on the Daily Wet Handshake Mail story. If they want more advertising, they should improve the product.
I
listen to Radio 1 more than my local commercial station simply because of the more appealing music, better chat, and the fact that I'm not a fan of how local radio seems all to be the same playlists and networks for large amounts of the day. Perhaps the commercial station should try being as good as the BBC. Then listeners would come to them. I have to listen to Heart of Work, and they play the same eight songs over and over. I could cheerfully stamp on the radio, says Ian.
Well said, Ian.
So it sounds like it's the opposite of Australia, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, we have... Ours is really diverse, and there's something for everybody. And given the fact that our population's a lot smaller than yours and our history's a lot younger than yours, I thought... this is interesting because ours is really diverse. If you want to listen to stuff that just unsigned bands, stuff that you won't hear anywhere, there's a whole station dedicated to them.
Blimey.
It's fantastic. There's all your top 40 stuff. Then there's your middle of the road, easy listening kind of stuff. Then there's your whole Suicide FM kind of situation.
Oh no, bland FM.
You know, There's all sorts of stuff. There's also like a dance music, all that dance
doof
music.
Good.
There's all that, and then we've got heaps of different radio to listen to here.
There's a reason for that, though, isn't there? Compared to what you get in England.
Why?
And the simple fact is, like Rachel's just said, Australia's a massive country and it's got a massive population and it's got a massive landfalls of barren land. And in Britain, we're a small nation quite heavily populated, but we're a small nation. And everything in Britain is homogenised. And that's what's happened to radio here. We have a certain standard of radio, which is very, very low. And every now and again, somebody with a bit of chutzpah or a bit of individuality stands out above the crowd.
Oh, well, in which case, here we go then. Here we go, Lee. Because Ian commented that Tony Blackburn, who was on the BBC doing this, played the Four Tops, It's the Same Old Song, on his New Year's Eve show, and couldn't resist dedicating to all his friends in commercial radio, adding...
I love him.
Yeah, adding the other track to be played was We Don't Talk Anymore. I think that kind of sums it up, says Ian. Dear commercial radio...
I think so.
Dear commercial radio, says Ian, as a licensed fee payer, I'm very happy with the BBC, thank you. It educates, it entertains, it informs.
You're wrong, Ian.
If you'd like me to retune to your services, raise your game and invest more in your products as any other business would. But please don't expect the better players to lower themselves to your level.
Yeah, he's right there.
That's very interesting.
You see, the BBC, you know, I've started listening to the BBC quite a lot more than I used to, for no other reason than I wanted to find out, not because of this story, but generally how bad it is. And the simple fact is, it is bad. Mm. It is absolutely awful. The drama it uses is middle-class oiky drama. You know, most drama that it uses as the equivalent to The Archers, if we remember Mrs. Dale's Diary, Eric, that's still trapped. We're still trapped in that kind of drama from the 1950s and 60s in the stuff you listen to. And then we still have Woman's Hour, which there's nothing wrong with having Woman's Hour on there, but isn't that a bit sexist to give women
clearly,
just an hour a day?
Clearly shows Radio 4's out of touch. Steve added,
absolutely.
And the only reason BBC Radio 1 has an audience is the commercial stations in England are bleep copies. I cannot use the word that he said because Beth's here. Steve added, future is smartphone radio. I've been running a couple of test streams over the last year or so. The figures and countries are amazing. However, I am not content controller, whatever that is. Steve continued by saying, commercial radio by its nature has always been about money. Going back to the original commercial stations in the US, and of course, RTE in Ireland. They weren't before us, which predates the BBC. Does it really? I didn't know that. The problem is English commercial radio is still staffed by the same idiots that made the mistakes in the 1980s onwards. The money is not the problem. Most of the management think England won the World Cup recently. We all know it's 1966. The world has changed. Ouch. Ouch.
Can I just say something here? Mm. Because you've worked for the BBC. I freelance for the BBC. And no longer freelance for the BBC because I don't think I like them and I don't think they like me, which is fair enough because I can't stand the blandness and the ineptitude of the way they present stories and what makes them scared. Mm-hmm. But surely, in the past, has there ever been a point where the BBC, our radio, whether it's local or national, apart from the news programmes, actually broke any new ground? When did they stop breaking new ground and playing Phil Collins records over and over again?
It wasn't just the new ground, Lee. It was also the problem that they had with things like the editorial controls that came in.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, I was on one radio station, thrown off of it, then came back, and I was allowed to have the question posed to me. So you would say, what is it?
Yeah.
And then we would have to write the answers down, an editor would have to approve them, then I'd read them out later in the programme. And I said, no, thank you, goodbye. And I then proceeded I took a half-page advert out in a Kent newspaper, the biggest one there was, and said, I've left there, and I'm now going to work on a commercial station in London, but you'll still be able to hear me, don't worry. And that didn't go down very well with the BBC people. Don't know why.
He said, I can see the same problem here. You know, without mentioning that person that we always mention, I will not mention his name unless you wish me to.
Not.
What, Jim Hawkins?
No, we're having a total ban on that name in 2014 because I'll bleep it out.
I'll never mention Good. Jim Hawkins again.
Good.
But he does something called sitting on a bench.
Boring.
Thank you. That's as much as I need to say.
Thank you. David says, as we quickly run through the other comments, a typical Daily Mail rubbish.
I want to have a word about that. What does he mean, Daily Mail rubbish?
I totally agree with you, David. Mike says, the thing I know, radio stations have to make money to survive. But hell, what happened to fun? I don't hear it. I like a bit of excitement in there somewhere.
Good on you.
I like you. And, and I know who this Alton is, because I haven't worked with him, but I have worked with him, kind of.
Commercial
radio needs to up its game. Having worked for both the BBC commercial radio and national radio, it all started to go wrong for commercial radio from about 1988 to 1990 onwards, each buying each other out. So who is really to blame? The radio authority at the time for allowing this, or the listeners just accepting it? Anyone over 40 can remember how radio used to be. Lots of really good ILR stations. Well, I'd question that a bit. Alas, but all gone. Good. The next few years will be interesting, both for the BBC and the commercial sector, as internet radio takes off. You only have to look at all the TV channels now available. On that happy note, Happy New Year to you all. Well, thank you very much indeed. And I think we'll just finish with Martin, who sums this up so beautifully. Oh, God, boo-hoo, it's not fair, close them down, idiots. I agree, Martin.
I agree. Can I just interrupt? Nothing to do with anything to do with this. I just wish to ask Beth a question.
Go on, then.
Beth, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You've gone a long way away.
Yeah, you're very quiet.
Did you now?
That's better.
That's good. Did you or did you not hear Uncle Eric say that he and I would share the reading out of those comments?
Yes, I heard that.
And did you hear me read one comment out or not?
She wasn't listening.
So,
I was listening, I just wasn't paying attention.
So you escaped by your skin of your teeth.
Well done, that. Well done, that girl. Well, we're staying with the BBC for a moment. As the best PR stunt so far of 2014 goes to the dreaded BBC Radio 4 for having on their guest editors. A bit like we did last week. We had a guest producer, they have guest editors. Our guest producer was brilliant, their guest editor was rubbish. And that's probably due to the fact it was the singer PJ Harvey.
I think that's a bit unfair to say that. Why was she rubbish? Because she was PJ Harvey?
Well, because that's what she is. She's rubbish.
Yeah, you're right.
And because that is her name.
Yes, and she can't change that unless it's
like
a false name.
Like a bottle of lime juice.
Yes. And I'm sorry, but you can't just go, you be the guest editor of a national radio station talk programme for breakfast if you're not the right person to do it.
And I think that's absolutely right, yeah. And, you know, I think the fact that she played a Tom Waits song, Strange Weather, it was a good idea.
Hardly in tune with the audience, though.
Well, no, exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, John Pilger on Rowan Williams and stuff like that.
Not in tune with the audience.
Absolutely. And then to fawn for Mr. Julian Assange, who
that really grinds my gears. Nobody should be giving him any kind of audience whatsoever, ever, Correct. Ever, ever.
Yep. No, I think he's a very important man. And,
no, he's
and
not. He's about as important as the current zit on my buttocks.
As the quintessential citizen journalist of the world, and probably the most famous citizen journalist of the world, which means he has nothing to do with journalism at all. He's just a citizen.
Yeah.
But he has actually started to reveal things which are very pertinent and very important to the world, very much like the Thatcher Diaries coming out this
He's got no right today. To. It's not his job to reveal that stuff. He's a citizen. Citizens don't have the right to reveal that stuff. And Edward Snowden is no different. Julian Assange needs to jump off the balcony from that.
Do you know what they, guys, do you know what they remind me of? A pair of them.
One.
Tattletales at school.
Similar. I think they remind me of some of the people that jumped on the CB bandwagon of the 1970s. They were never going to do anything. We're never going to get anywhere. But they were really famous on CB radio.
Yeah, that's right. But you have to admit, you see, what you're both doing now is condemning the world to never have whistleblowers again. And whistleblowers are very important people for bringing things which are being kept secret to the world in general. And Julian Assange was a whistleblower.
What you're whistleblowing on. Like the whistleblower who, you know, blew Big Tobacco open, right, for example. Mm. That actually had a purpose that saved lives.
Yep.
Now, this man is just, all he is a great big attention-seeking girly twat.
Right. And the other one could have condemned people
and
to
hiding.
Death. No, hold
they're
on.
They're cowardly and hiding.
Yes.
Hiding in little
boxes.
That's
because he'd go to jail.
Because what they've done is against the law.
Yeah, if you get done for speeding in your car, you get a ticket.
Well, that's right, but there again, we've always had a different view on freedom of expression and on freedom of information.
Where they went wrong, Lee, seriously.
I did say I didn't back Julian Assange. I'm not backing him, but I'm saying what the information he put out there, a lot of it was a waste of time, a lot of it was very important, and the world is a better place for that information coming out.
I can't understand how a member of the human race could issue details of people that potentially put them under threat of other people killing them. And that's why
I agree with you, and that's why I said it. And that's why I said he isn't a journalist, he's a citizen. And he took a chance, and he's had a bad effect on his life, and he has revealed things inside that mass of pointless information. He's revealed things that which are important and have changed the world in that way.
Maybe he should have just approached it in that way and revealed the things that were important, as opposed to just gone blabble 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 blabble
attention,
blabble. Like
attention seek, attention seek.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree
look at
more.
Me, look at me, look at me, look at me, something
yeah,
important.
Exactly.
Look at me, look at me, look at me, yeah. Something important. Look at me, look at me.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely, I'd say that PJ Harvey shouldn't have had him on the show.
Anyway,
no,
Beth, I'm going to ask Beth a question. And Lee, your microphone's terrible today, mate.
Why?
Because when you're not talking, it's all going like that. So I apologise for that, ladies and gentlemen.
I have an explanation for that, which I'll explain after the show.
Thank you. Beth, do you understand that the Poms, the Brits, don't get on very well with the French?
No, but yes, okay.
Yeah,
Poms and onions.
Because for some reason, Beth, always British people don't like French people. Is that the same with like you've heard that, have you?
Pommes frites.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not. Is it the same with like NZ in Australia?
No.
It's not as bad as that, though.
Not in my generation, it's not.
Oh, it's only in
most
old people's.
So,
yeah.
Most of them live here now.
It's like old people.
It's only in the hands of old bigots, isn't it, Beth?
She does. Yes. Right, thank you. Anyway, we move on because some of the National Archive stuff that Lee, or it was Lee, I think, mentioned a little bit earlier has been released this week, only to find out that France had planted a bomb in an ambassador's London residence in an attempt, the cheeky French froggies, to test British security arrangements.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Just to test it.
Pardonnez-moi, even.
Hello?
Yes.
I mean, didn't they have some sort of atoll going on a few years ago?
Yeah.
They should just test things there.
Well, according to the National Archives, the police were extremely annoyed. I think they flipping were.
I was going to say so.
Yeah.
Hello, wasted resources.
Yeah, exactly. it was inexplicable. Yes, it was.
There are no words.
There are none whatsoever. So whatever.
What are those we just used?
Well, something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But there's other interesting things that came out in 1984 from these records.
It's very interesting. Very, very
Yeah, and I'm just going to read through them quickly for you. Unlike some of the game show hosts where they read them twice, you're only going to get them once. Mrs. Thatcher made little effort to press for the release of Nelson Mandela at a time when all the young people were pushing for Nelson Mandela's release.
At the time, she was describing Mandela as a terrorist. Which in fact he was.
Well, that's true as well. A faked recording in which President Ronald Reagan unbraids Mrs. Thatcher over the Falklands War, telling her to control yourself, nearly sparked an international incident, but was unrumbled. The government thought it could have been a Soviet Union plant. Unbelievable. Mrs. Thatcher had 118 hair appointments during 1984. Gosh, I wouldn't have slept not knowing that.
But that means that the lady was for perming.
Oh, hang on, Beth's just yawned.
I'm not surprised.
That was a terrible joke.
That was a really good joke.
That was the headline on the song.
It was a great joke, and yeah. I just think it was a little bit past it, but that's all right. It's past her bedtime anyway, but that's all right. Go on.
The government hoped to stop miners smuggling in Soviet Union cash to support strikers by catching couriers with a suitcase full of banknotes coming through customs.
Since when do small children smuggle banknotes? Oh, miners!
Yes. And equally, Mrs. Thatcher secretly, but it's not a big secret now, considered calling in the army at the height of the 12-month miners' strike.
Can we say quite seriously here that Margaret Thatcher has been so maligned over, she still puts people in pole positions, and she was so maligned over what was happening with the miners' strike. The miners' strike wasn't even particularly about miners. It was about Scargill. Yeah. It was about Scargill's political determination to take over Britain. And they didn't want mines to be closed on economic grounds. They wanted those to stay open. Mm. And the sad fact is that miners' communities did suffer dramatically and are still suffering from what happened. But that wasn't necessarily because of Thatcher. Right. It was because of the situation, and she was trying to deal with the situation. I'm not an apologist for Thatcher, but I think it's unfair the way she's been
pilloried. Pillory is the word you're looking for. Beth, can you do me a favour?
Sure.
Can you get Mum to go down to page 7 halfway, because she'll never manage it this time of night?
Hang on, I'll go as well.
We're already on 10. Yep, gotcha.
According to the Twerp of the Week Award, Facebook is dead and buried as far as teens are concerned. This is according to research done at the University College of London. So I'm going to ask Beth a question. Beth,
yes.
Do you ever use Facebook?
Oh, I'm on it right now, actually. Yes.
Yeah, so that's messed up the research. That's messed up the research.
That sort of, it's on the radio on Facebook.
Yeah.
When I saw that story when you sent this run sheet to me earlier, I thought, oh, we're going to ruin this.
Beth, 24/7. Beth, are you between 16 and 18 years old?
Yes, I'm 16.
Well, that's wrong as well then. And there's a guy from a website called TechCrunch, and they're a bit snobby on there, right, Beth, to be honest. And he says Facebook used to be quite a private place, especially among university students. And gradually, because Facebook needs more money, had to open up and become a bit more public. So what's happened, and they, young people, are going towards new kinds of platforms like Instagram or Twitter. He reckons that only old people use Facebook, and young people
old lonely people.
People
who have no real friends.
So are you saying that Mike Butcher's got it wrong?
We used to have imaginary friends, now we have Facebook.
Oh, right, okay. Anyway, let's just check this out with Beth. So what you're saying, Beth, is that young people, this old guy called Mike Butcher, he says that young people are not using Facebook anymore.
Don't do a hatchet job on him.
Sorry?
He's wrong. He's more wrong than wrong. I use Facebook minutely.
Right.
And so do heaps of other young people.
Right. And do you use Instagram or Twitter?
No.
I used to use Twitter a lot, not so much anymore, but I use Instagram. I don't go on it every day, but if I need to edit a photo, I'll use it. But I don't, you know, don't go on it as much as
And Beth. I don't expect you to know this, Beth, because, you know, it's not your job to know this. But do you know who's the owner of Instagram? Who's the boss?
Nope.
Do you know, would you be surprised if I said the owners of Instagram are really Facebook?
Mm-hmm. I knew that, they bought it.
Yeah. So there you go, you see. So what these guys are saying is that even if they're right, Beth, and they are more wrong than wrong, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. But even if they were right, let's pretend, it means that older people use Facebook and younger people use Instagram, which is owned by Facebook anyway, so it's still all Facebook.
I suppose.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, the morons. Who is this for?
I don't know.
Let's throw him a leather.
This is the kind of thing which is taking over from Facebook, and I think that's a really good thing. And I think he's right that Twitter and Instagram are doing it. But the problem is what the sort of stuff is put on there. I'm just looking at my Twitter account now.
Now hang on, Lee.
What?
Right, Instagram is Facebook.
Yeah.
Right. My daughter uses Instagram. She's only 3 years older than you, Beth, so she's young as well. Now, she uses Instagram and posts to Facebook from it rather than having to do both.
Yes.
Yeah? So, logical, isn't it, Beth?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yep, thank you very much. So these old people still don't get it, do they?
Well, that's not the point I'm making.
No, thank you.
This is what's appeared on my Twitter account.
Right.
Quite an interesting question posed by somebody whose name I can't find, but it says, what's the longest possible name of a real drink? I want to order it and see what happens. The reply to it is, this is incredible to me. The reply is, I don't really know.
Well, it's honest.
Twitter's so useful. It's a useful device.
Going to public displays of your intelligence by saying that.
Yeah, but Lee, Twitter is just like a short telephone conversation.
Well, I wouldn't phone you up and say that. Oh, I suppose I would.
You would.
And you'd say, no, and then I'd hang up on you.
Exactly.
What's the point of ringing you then?
Oh dear. So I think the problem really, Beth, is that old people don't know what young people are doing, and even if they do, they
isn't
don't
that way of the world forever.
It's always been the same thing. So old people are rubbish, young people are good.
That's correct.
Thank you, Beth. You're wonderful. We've enjoyed your company so well on this particular programme. And we haven't got room to talk about messages in bottles and hobbits and robbits and shaving creams. And
fires in Queensland.
And fires in Queensland. Yeah, everybody in Queensland, be safe. We've got to go. Beth, it's been lovely having you here. Say goodbye to the world.
Goodbye, world.
Good girl. Say goodbye, Mum.
Goodbye, Mum.
Say goodbye, Lee.
Oh, goodbye, Lee. all the world and everything.
And from me, Eric Wiltshire, same time, same place, same channel next week. Have a good week. Till next week. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.